You are listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIVHour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Hey, happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride.
Hey, happy Pride.
Good evening to everyone. How is everyone today? How is all you all? What's going on? How are you, Sue?
I'm fine. I'm just getting ready to go on holiday in a few days' time. Oh. Sorry for showing off. But you sort of get yourself worked up into holiday mode. So I'm in holiday mode at the moment. So I'm happy for a change. I'm always happy. I'm only kidding. How about you, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm good. It's been a quiet week for a change. Yes, I am doing well.
Mm-hmm. How's the arm? Because you had a procedure, didn't you?
Yeah, so I had some carpal tunnel surgery done on my left hand. So so I'm still got my arm strapped up, but hopefully I get the stitches out tomorrow. And then we will start the exercises. That's the difficult part. It's doing the physio and the exercises and things. So that's me.
I won't ask what exercises you have to do. just let's move on from
move on.
My mind's thinking.
So David, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really looking forward to Pride. I've got a friend from Manchester staying for a few days, but we're not doing the Luther Park or anything like that. We're just gonna have just a quiet time. I'll maybe go to the beach. We're having some friends around for dinner on Friday. So I've been polishing the cutlery, all ready for it.
good. And what about you, Josh?
I'm all right. Yeah, I've just had my first injectable HIV injectable. So I'm sat on a cushion. no, it wasn't too bad, actually. It was all right. So we'll just, so I'll update later, I think. I'll chat about that.
Good.
So it's Pride Week, isn't it? So what's your plans?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm going to do the walk, the march walk, whatever it is. That's representing Terence Higgins Trust. And I wasn't going to do it this year, but I thought, well, it hasn't been a Pride march for a couple of years because of COVID. And I thought, well, one just has to. So I think it's going to be quite massive, to be honest. I know London's really busy, so I am quite looking forward to it. So getting ready for that.
It's going to be a big one this year, isn't it? I think because it's been off for 2 years. You're not coming down for it, are you, Stephen?
I'm going to miss this one because obviously we had Pride here in London a few weeks ago. I would love to come to Brighton, but I think I'm just with the arm. I think this year I'm going to give it a miss. What are you getting up to, Josh?
I'm going to watch the parade, I think. And then I'm going to some friends for dinner. David. On Friday, and then I'm DJing on Saturday afternoon at the George called the Element Act. So they're doing a whole night, and they're doing the whole day, and it's not in the throng of it all. So I think it's going to be different. I think it's going to be a lot of dancing and stuff. So
great.
But Pride is it's 50 years actually, isn't it? Pride this year.
It is 50 years. Can you believe it? Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's crazy, part, isn't it?
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hi, if you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area .com online, and you can also get us on off of fabulous podcast. Now, I'm just thinking, Josh, about you've just had your first injection, and I don't know what you guys think, but my first thought is, do you know when we get recommended to have the flu jab? And I don't know about in your surgery, I refuse to do it because I just refuse to do it. Apparently they say, can you get all your arms ready? And you have to roll up your T-shirt. Well, I refuse to do that, but I have this vision that you're all sitting in a line with your trousers down. Was it very?
No, it wasn't. It was very. It was very. I was on my own with my nurse. And, Jonathan. So he was very good. And yeah, you just go into the room and actually, I was there for about 45 minutes. So doing the bloods and I think the first injection, it didn't actually hurt that much. The first injection when the needle goes in, it you know, you wince a little bit, but it wasn't as. I don't know if you've had a syphilis what's the other one? Gonorrhea. Injection in your bum, because that really hurts, doesn't it? One of them. And I kind of thought it might be that, but I think it's because it's how thick the liquid is. That's why it hurts more. So this liquid didn't hurt so much.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah. So you have one in each buttock. I keep saying this about the drugs, what they call cabivavine and rilpivirine. Yeah, it feels all right. I mean, it's been a couple of hours now, so I'm starting to get a bit of a sore posterior in the injection sites. I'm just going to watch it over the next couple of days and watch it.
You know, you're going to watch.
See how you need a rear view mirror.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And I was really nervous beforehand. Though,
yeah, for some reason. But just think about it for a second, Josh. How amazing! I mean, who would have thought? You know, years ago, we'd be sitting here talking about, you're not sitting properly, but, you know, talking about, oh, yes, I've just had my first injectable and I don't have to take my pills for a month or whatever it is. I mean, just how it's just bizarrely amazing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it is weird. I keep thinking, I automatically want to take the pills tomorrow. So, yeah. But then there's the other side of, is it working? Is it what's happening? You know, so... Yeah. It's kind of a strange feeling. I was quite anxious leading up to it. I wondered why I was feeling a bit anxious. But as soon as he started to get on with it, I just started to feel a bit better.
How frequently are they going to sort of monitor you just to make sure that the levels of you are all right in your system?
So Jonathan's going to ring me next couple of days to see how I'm getting on with side effects if there was any. And then I will go back in a month for the next injection. We'll do bloods. Just to check everything's all right, and then again, and then it goes to 2 months. So it's every 2 months after that. So, but he's given me, you know, if anything happens or I've got a number to call, if I'm worried about anything, I can call them and have a chat with them. And I mean, if you think about it, you're putting HIV drugs for a month. If I know this sounds a bit negative, but if something goes wrong. You've got it in your system.
It's quite you can't get it out once you've injected it.
It's a big thing. I was wondering why I was nervous because I was thinking, because I hadn't really thought about it until today. And then I thought, and then it just thought, oh god, I am quite anxious about it. But I'm glad I'm doing it. It's interesting.
But you know, it's been in trials a while. So and obviously they've probably covered most scenarios, so that we have to have that reassurance, don't we?
I think taking any medication, whether HIV medication, there's always a risk.
Yes.
Everyone's different, every individual. So I have to remember that everyone's different. And, the tablets I was up, the new tablets, which is that I can't pronounce it, but it's cabotavir and lipivirine. It is. It's very, but I said on the last week's show that I feel better taking those tablets than I have done for years because I think it might have been one of the tablets I was on that was making my muscles ache. Mm-hmm. And I just felt tired all the time and that's gone.
Good.
So I'm hopefully. Mm-hmm. But also, I was going to say this too because you've got a story, haven't you, about this because the cabotavir. They're using for PrEP, aren't they now?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that the story you want to say, talk about?
Yeah. I mean, some news I've seen just this week that Viva Healthcare have agreed to expand a long-term Acton HIV PrEP. And that very long word that you just I'm going to try and say it actually, cabotogravia. Excuse me, listeners, if I've got that wrong. But yeah, so they're going to be using that component within this HIV PrEP. So under a new agreement, licensed manufacturer will be able to supply generic versions of these long-acting the drug we've just mentioned. So this is going to be obviously game-changing for countries within sub-Saharan Africa. And, you know, so Deborah Waterhouse, chief executive of Viva Healthcare, has said that, you know, today's announcement represents the potentially game-changing moment in HIV prevention. Now, if we just very quickly look at, you know, how many women and girls are actually living with HIV in sub-Saharan Africa, you know, in 2020, 1.7 million children were living with HIV. And in the same year, 150,000 were new infections within between age 14 and 24. Now, this is women and girls. So this is going to be absolutely instrumental. So, yeah, it's exciting things. And apparently they've just also said that the tests that they've been doing, that they're not seeing and they're not showing any birth defects in pregnancy, because obviously pregnant women will be taking it as well. So really, really great news, you know, for across the pond, as one would say, you know, where it is really, really needed. Yeah. So, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, David, you've got a story because it's the Montreal, it's the AIDS conference, isn't it? 2020.
So July 28th, it was the International AIDS conference that took place in Montreal, and the United States and Canada joined together to call all countries together to promote the U equals U message. They're sort of calling U equals U a key message that's critical to ending HIV and ending stigma and helping sort of increase testing and people accessing treatment and reducing health inequalities. So I think Prevention and Access Campaign are an organization that consists, well, it's a network of over 1,000 organizations and community partners from 105 countries that are all pushing the U equals U message. So that's something that we all support.
Yeah. Has anyone ever been to an AIDS conference then?
No.
I have. I went to Amsterdam 4 years ago, and it was great. It was really, really good. It was great to meet all these advocates that you know from working online, you know, and just great to hear so many people talking, you know, about HIV and how far we've come and the things that were in the pipeline and things like that. Yeah, it was an amazing experience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Never been in the UK, has it? Has it?
Well, I went to Viva. Has it? Yeah. I went to Viva, didn't I? I went to
the
Viva.
Yeah. The Viva one. Yeah.
Yeah, in the UK.
And then there's the UK National Conference of People Living with HIV that took place in June. That's organised by Positive UK, but that's less medical people. That's more. Yeah. That's much run by and for people living with HIV, and that's great to network and a lot of peer mentors there, and seeing other people living with HIV helping others through their journey and reducing stigma and
all helps, doesn't it? It's all good.
And testing. Yeah, it's all good. Mm-hmm.
So we'll go back into Pride before we'll have a break, and then we'll come back with our two stories, Dean. But Pride, what does Pride mean to you?
Yeah, you go, sir.
I'm not going to repeat something, and I'll repeat it every Pride, because I'm still getting questions asked. And I'm talking about the straight community, and I'm still getting questions. Why are they still banging on about it? Why do we? Well, they've got equality now. They've got this. They've got that. And I'm just dumbstruck. You know, obviously they don't know what we know. I says, well, if you let me ask you a question, I say, if you've ever been made to feel as though you cannot be the person you are, step forward. And that's the question and answer. I said, there's people around the world that are still fighting to be who they are. I mean, we know we've got the, I tell you what, I don't know whether you've seen the beginning of the games that started, the Commonwealth Games, and Tom Daly, did you see it? What an amazing, yeah. You know, the LGBT plus Q community flag. It was amazing. And the some of the statistics, correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen, is it about 40% or nearly 0.5% of the countries that are representing the Commonwealth are still seeing this as a legal practice. Am I right? Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know, same sex, you know, and I that was just astonishing.
Well, you too.
Yeah, it means a lot to make sure that people know, yes.
Yeah.
For me, pride is, so back in the day when I first met my partner, we couldn't sort of show any affection towards each other in public. So we used to sort of sit at a restaurant and we couldn't say, I love you. So I used to flare my nostrils at each other like a little singer. But now, and just the act of holding hands in the street, you'd have to look around the corner or look ahead, look behind you to see if you could. We don't have to do that anymore. And it's a big step just to actually being able to love who you want to love. Love is a human right. We all deserve to love and be loved. And that's very much a part of the human condition. And to say that something's illegal or immoral or it's just to hold hands or just to kiss somebody. It's a basic fundamental right that I think everybody should have.
Yes.
Well yeah, said. definitely.
What are you saying?
For me, I suppose I look back to that little boy growing up in Section 28, you know, when it was illegal to talk about being gay in schools, it was illegal to teach about gay writers or anything that, you know, mentioned gay was illegal, you know. So I grew up in a time where I didn't have pride. I didn't have pride in myself, in who I was, in what I was, you know. It was a tough time, you know. So for me now to be, not only to be proud of who I am, of being gay, but also to be proud as a gay man living with HIV and being able to speak about it publicly and openly. You know, pride has there's so many things pride means to me. You know, I could be here all day talking about it, you know, but I suppose they're just a couple of the things, just to being able to be me, be honest, be open, be free. And just say, like David says, you know, just to be able to say to somebody, you know, I love you, to hold their hand, to kiss them, you know. That's pride for me.
That's good words. Everything that you've said is actually, it's the same thing, actually. Everything you've said really emulates for me. It's about celebrating, but also about remembering where we're coming from and how we, you know, moving forward with it.
Radio Reverb.
I probed into its mysteries. Every clue told me a different story.
Radio Reverb.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour, 97.2 FM and RadioReverb.com. So we've got a couple more stories. You've got great ones, Stephen, haven't you?
Yeah, so I've got an interesting one, Josh. And this one also comes from the conference in Montreal, AIDS 2022. It's about a woman in Barcelona, and she's maintained an undetectable HIV viral load for more than 15 years after stopping antiretroviral therapy, according to a case reported and presented at the AIDS conference in Montreal. Her HIV has not been completely eradicated, so she cannot be considered cured in the strictest sense, but she appears to be in prolonged remission without antiretrovirals, and this is sometimes called functional cure. Whilst this woman is an exceptional post-treatment controller, her experimental regime would not be suitable for people, you know, widespread for people with HIV. But what they're hoping is that her case may provide clues to help researchers develop more broadly applicable strategies for long-term remission. The presented case is exceptional, not just because there are so few people who with long-term post-treatment control, but also because HIV control mechanism, which is different than the described in elite controllers and other cases documented to date, says this clinic in Barcelona. Now, although antiretroviral therapy can keep the HIV replication suppressed as long as treatment continues, the virus integrates its genetic blueprint, known as the provirus, into the DNA of human cells, establishing a vital reservoir that is unreachable by antiretrovirals and usually invisible to the immune system. These proviruses can lie dormant in resting immune cells indefinitely, but they can start churning out new viruses when antiretrovirals are stopped. Now, a handful of people thought to be totally cured of HIV received stem cell transplants for cancer treatments from donors with a rare mutation known as the CCR5 Delta 32. And that blocks HIV from entering the immune system. A fifth such case has just been reported at AIDS 2022 as well. But a larger group thought still only a small fraction of people living with HIV are able to keep the virus under control, either from the onset of infection or after stopping antiretrovirals. In this new case, it involves a woman dubbed the Barcelona patient, who at the age of 59 was diagnosed with HIV during acute infection. People with very early infection have a smaller viral reservoir, which means it improves their prospects for a functional cure. At baseline, her viral load was about 70,000, but she still had a high CD4 count of about 800. Now, as I said, this is just very much a very rare case, and it's not a cure, but the thing is, it's a possibility of this woman being studied and why this woman has lived well, a healthy, well life for the last 15 years without antiretrovirals. And hopefully, one day in the future, it will go towards meaning that it can improve, improve life for people living with HIV.
Interesting to see how many people are like that, though. Is there a few, didn't say how many people in the world have that.
It didn't say in the article, Josh, no. And as it said, there's only five people that have been cured from HIV. But obviously these are all people that have been through like life-threatening transplants, that can be life-threatening, to cure cancer, and in turn it has cured their HIV. So it's still very early stages. A lot needs to be done, but it's interesting.
So mine's the world's first HIV positive to HIV positive heart transplant, which was conducted in New York in a New York hospital. So the recipient was a woman in her 60s. She also received a new kidney during surgery, so quite a big operation. Doctors at the New York City Hospital performed the world's first successful heart transplant between an HIV positive donor and an HIV positive recipient. Where the surgery took place, it was actually this spring. So the recipient, a woman in her 60s who had advanced heart failure, thanks to significant medical advances, people living with HIV are able to control the disease so well that they can now save lives of other people living with this condition, said the heart transplant specialist of the hospital. This surgery is a milestone in the history of organ donation and offers new hope to people who once had nowhere to turn. The groundbreaking transplant took place nearly a decade after the first HIV organ policy. The first transplant was in 2016, and that was a kidney and liver donor. That's about it, really, I think. In 2019, a 36-year-old Atlanta woman who had contracted HIV from a blood transfusion when she was born became the first living HIV-positive kidney donor. So it's interesting, isn't it? It's all changing and progressing, and it's great stuff.
It's very interesting. I find that really interesting. As some of you know, I was an organ recipient of a pancreas transplant. Seven years ago, and I was the first HIV positive person to receive a pancreas transplant in the United Kingdom. It was really interesting. So whenever there's stuff about transplants, I'm always really interested to see how far, you know, because that was 7 years ago, and now 7 years on, these new operations are being done. So it's amazing. It's amazing to hear.
Brilliant. Very positive as well.
Yeah, and Stephen, am I right in thinking that we can now be organ donors ourselves in the UK, even to people who don't are not living with HIV, as long as they take antiretrovirals after they're receiving the organ from the positive person? Is that right?
It's still quite complicated because I think, you know, I know that I'm an organ donor, but I've been told that I can only be an organ donor for somebody that's living with HIV. So I don't know. I don't know if things have changed, David. They could have changed, but that's how it was when I signed up about 2 years ago. So, yeah.
Just progression, isn't it? And positive steps forward, and it's so good.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's always interesting to look at the global situation of HIV and AIDS as it's seen in other parts of the world, and this story, piece of news, whatever you want to call it, comes from UniAIDS, and it's a feature story by a lady called Martina Sonder. She's an activist committed to fight against HIV in a country, Burkina Faso. It's an African Central African country. She continues her fight to defend the rights of people living with HIV. Now, Martina Sonder Dakota, she's 34 when she was diagnosed with HIV, and she goes on to say the news, which she describes as traumatic, suddenly shattered all the hopes and plans of this mother of four. She says, I suffered a lot from the fear of dying prematurely and in deplorable conditions. She says, despite a sense of anger and injustice, she finally came to terms with her status and even public in the media to encourage people living with HIV to accept themselves and get help. Now, today, with her treatments controlling her viral load and keeping her healthy, Martina can look forward to a happy and productive life. She is one of the pioneers in the fight against AIDS in Burkina Faso, having fought for nearly 29 years with the NGO, this association of which she is initiator and president of the board of directors, and she works for the prevention of HIV, the care of people exposed to the virus, and the promotion of their human rights. Now, the fight against AIDS in West and Central Africa remains a healthy emergency, says Ms. Sonder. Also, the HIV prevalence rate is 0.7% in Burkina Faso. And Martina says, she asks us about the situation of key populations who are more exposed to the dangers of HIV and the reasons that lead to this sad reality. Now, in particular, she mentions the political and security context in the region, proposed laws that discriminate against key populations, and the low involvement of people affected by HIV in the fight against AIDS and obstacles to effective care. Now, she goes on to say, in order to protect key populations from the dangers of HIV, Martina's ambition is to provide universal access to prevention methods, which are crucial aspects of the fight against AIDS and focus on effective access to health and rights for people in situations of social rejection and criminalisation and is the challenge for the fight against AIDS, she says. And in order to achieve universal access to prevention, care and follow-up services, Martina advocates, among other things, greater involvement of people affected by HIV in the development of national AIDS strategies, better recognised of actions carried out on the grounds, and the elimination of social and economic inequalities that fuel the epidemic. Now, Martina expressed concern about conservation and culture, religion and traditional pressures that lead to stigma and discrimination against people living with HIV. This discrimination manifests itself in various forms through verbal, physical attacks, threats, harassment, arbitrary arrests. She observes such behaviour is dangerous and represents a major obstacle to fight against AIDS and is disencouraging people living with HIV from seeking appropriate services. Now, this is an urgent need to stop such violence in order to create a climate where the change of people living with HIV are respected and protected, establishing a more inclusive discourse free of discrimination and error prejudices, will allow for more effective response guided by values, respect and integrity and equality. And it just goes to show how when something happens, if something happens to you, what you can do in a small way. And she's really, Martina has really taken it on board to fight for the rights and the equalities of people living in a country with HIV and AIDS. And she's doing a marvellous job and should be applauded.
Radio Reverb.
And now I think we're going to be talking about some local news, aren't we, Josh?
Mm. Yeah, some community news, yeah. Shall I do one and then you do one? And We all do one.
I've just passed on to you, so you do one now.
Yeah, I'll go first then. So we've got an update for the monkeypox vaccinations. Vaccination clinics have been limited initially by national vaccine dose stock and the need to identify staffing to allow capacity to vaccinate a large number of patients over a shorter period of time. Doing the vaccination clinics all day in Clonicle next Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. These are currently invite-only clinics. They are still in the process of inviting all PrEP patients and all patients with an acute STI in the last 12 months to these. People who are on PrEP would have been in contact already. Those who had an STI in the last 6 months who are HIV positive or HIV negative, I've already been sent a text message as well. So, if you are HIV positive and attending the Lawson Clinic and haven't had a text or want to be considered for the vaccine, then discuss that with your practitioner.
So basically, if someone is...
Next week they're just focusing on doing the vaccines, monkeypox vaccine. So I think they've been inundated, and I think if you've got symptoms, you just have to call them as well. Don't go in there without an appointment, basically. There you go, David.
Peer Action, which for local listeners is a group run by people living with HIV for people living with HIV. They do some health and well-being and social activities. So every Tuesday at noon throughout August, they'll be swimming at the King Alfred Centre. Just turn up and you pay for yourself, and there's an option to have a light bite or drink afterwards and socialise and meet other people living with HIV. Similarly, also on Tuesdays in the evenings, quarter to 6 p.m. Doors open starting at 6 are evening yoga sessions. And on the 7th of August, which is a Sunday, is Bent Double, which is a stand-up comedy night with a variety of different comedians. Always good for a laugh and see the lighter side of life. And also on the 21st of August on Sunday, there is bowling at the Hollywood Bowl at Brighton Marina. So for more information about those, check the website, which is www.peeraction.net.
lots going on, which is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I've got something from London's Positive. They've got a community event, which is Friday the 5th tomorrow, raising funds for Lunch Positive. So this is the Brighton and Hove frontrunners are hosting a rainbow run in Hove Park, which is Goldstone Crescent, at 7 p.m. It's a brilliant run for people of all abilities, and there's be entertainment there as well. So something to think about tomorrow night. Also, their Eastbourne Social Club, which is again with Lunch Positive, of the first Saturday of every month between 12 and 3. It's a safe and supportive peer gathering. You can get a delicious lunch, have a chat, sport. Everyone's welcome. It's friendly and inclusive. So if you want to find out more, you can email gary@lunchpositive.org or call 07846464384 or visit their website, which is lunchpositive.org. So they've got a lot of stuff going on over the weekend for Pride. And also, this is from Gary Smith, who works for CGL. So this is for the Brighton and Hove Recovery Service.
John?
CGL, it's for the Brighton and Hove Recovery Service for people with drug and alcohol support for them. So this is for the, they have a special LGBT specialist team who can offer recovery focused on drug and alcohol support. They can design the support and treatment to help you achieve your goals. They're open Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. And so things like they offer advice on keeping safe, options for community or residential detox and rehab, access to substitute medication, emotional support and counselling, housing support, and education and training and employment advice. So it's a really important service, actually, to get to.
Yeah, I must confess, I accessed the LGBT service quite some time ago, about 12 years ago. I sort of did a very much a tailored one-to-one thing that just helped me stop self-medicating and live a healthier life and make better decisions. So I thoroughly recommend the service. So anybody that's struggling with alcohol or substance problems, do get in touch.
Yeah. So if you want to contact them, contact them on 01273 731900 or email them brighton.info@cgl.org.uk. And you find them in Richmond House, Richmond Road in Brighton. So, and a valuable service, I think, to be honest. Especially with Pride as well, because Pride everyone goes mad at Pride, don't they? And, a little bit too mad. Not me, I don't.
You don't. Everybody else, Josh. Everybody else.
No, everyone enjoys a good, as well as the awareness part of things, everyone enjoys a good party, but we want to have a safe Pride as well. We don't want to have Pride casualties.
Yes. So, what an amazing show. Well, that went really quick, didn't it?
Did it.
So every week. Well, nice to see you all.
Right. Yes, likewise. And happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride, everyone.
Keep safe and keep well. Yes, everyone.
Have a great, safe Pride. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Take care.
And we'll see you on the other side. We're gonna have a month off, aren't we? And we're gonna play some old
holidays
shows,
and things going on. So we're gonna be
probably back in September.
Fabulous past shows. So
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can always catch us on with the podcast, which is previous shows, which is iTunes, Spotify, and Deezer. So just type in HIVL and some older shows will come up with some good interviews, and we come back to you with some great shows next year. Well, not next year,
next session. Yeah,
that's my head.
Bye,
everybody. Bye.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news, and views on living positively with the virus.